Welcome to this new detailed edition of the BayPay Forum Blockchain News. My name is Cindy and today is March 24, 2020. This edition is brought to you by PayCademy, the first business academy to learn payments in fintech. If you have some news in payments and fintech, send it to us at press@baypayforum.com and we will do our best to include your news. In this edition, we will talk about Bybit enables two-way margin trading with perpetual contracts quoted in Tether. Polychain, Bain Capital joined $3 million Series A round for Indian exchange coin DCX. Paxful becomes first P2P exchange to partner with Chainalysis. Alleged architects of $720 million BitClub Ponzi request jail release over coronavirus risk. Digital dollar stripped from latest U.S. coronavirus relief bill. Russian Prime Minister introduces bill to allow fintech sandboxes, blockchain included. Emin Gunsaray Ava Labs seeks Wall Street business after open sourcing Avalanche protocol. Bitcoin marches on $7,000 as traditional markets cheer Fed's QE bazooka. Now let's get started. Bybit enables two-way margin trading with perpetual contracts quoted in Tether. Singapore-based cryptocurrency exchange Bybit is adding Tether, USDT, perpetual contracts to its suite of derivative products. The contracts, going live Wednesday, will use the world's largest stablecoin by market cap as both the quote and settlement currency for two-way trades, enabling traders to hold both long and short positions at the same time and with different levels of leverage. All profits, losses and account balances will be denominated in USDT, making it clearer and easier for traders to make investment decisions using USDT, the firm says. Using a stablecoin also removes the volatility brought by non-pegged cryptocurrencies. The USDT perpetual contracts attempt to replicate the underlying spot markets using increased leverage. Similar to Bybit's existing perpetual contracts denominated in Bitcoin, the USDT contracts will have no expiry date, and the price will be attached to the underlying index. With other contracts, a trader must hold account balances in multiple currencies because profits and losses are denominated in the currency underlying the contract. If they receive a margin call, it means filling their margin using the relevant asset underlying the contract. With the new USDT perpetuals, the process is more simplified for traders wishing to utilize cross-margin to make use of unrealized profit on their account. That profit can be used as a top-up margin for other existing positions as well as across other contracts, Bybit says. Polychain, Bain Capital joined $3 million Series A round for Indian exchange coin DCX. Prominent backers have joined a $3 million funding round for Mumbai-based exchange coin DCX just weeks after a banking ban for cryptocurrency businesses was overturned. Coin DCX said Tuesday that investment firms Bain Capital and Polychain Capital as well as BitMEX owner HDR Global Trading were among those that participated in the Series A round. Funding in hand, the exchange plans to promote cryptocurrency adoption in India and further boost product development and marketing, said the firm. Specifically, CoinDCX will introduce financial products and support algorithmic-based trading later this year. The Supreme Court's decision to strike down the banking ban is an encouraging sign for the broader cryptocurrency ecosystem in India, and we are confident that there is huge potential growth in this market, said Sumit Gupta, Coin's co-founder and CEO, following Tuesday's announcement. See also, VC Tim Draper eyes India investments as nation enters crypto renaissance. The news marks a remarkable change in fortunes for an exchange that, for most of its history, relied on peer-to-peer crypto trading to keep itself afloat after the Reserve Bank of India (RBI) imposed a blanket ban on banks providing services to cryptocurrency businesses in April 2018. But after the nation's Supreme Court ruled the RBI's ban was disproportionate to the threat posed by digital assets, local industry players said they were preparing for a resurgent cryptocurrency scene in India. CoinDCX told CoinDesk user signups have increased tenfold since the RBI ban lifted. And although trading volumes prior to the ban are not being disclosed, the platform is now seeing $10 million to $15 million in transaction volume a day on average. Paxful becomes first P2P exchange to partner with Chainalysis. Peer-to-peer exchange Paxful has deployed Chainalysis cryptocurrency investigations and transaction intelligence software tools, the companies announced Monday in a joint press release. The deal represents an about-face for Chainalysis, one of the industry's most prominent crypto surveillance developers and regular partner of exchanges, governments, and private companies. It had never signed on a peer-to-peer client because these firms were seen as too risky to conduct business with, said John Dempsey, Chainalysis Vice President of Product. I think previously we categorically viewed P2P exchanges as a high-risk category, he told CoinDesk. In a P2P model, parties move cryptocurrency directly between their wallets with no financial institution processing the trade. That represents a purer form of crypto dealmaking. Bitcoin was envisioned as a decentralized P2P network, after all. But P2P exchanges often play it fast and loose on the regulatory compliance front, said Chainalysis Marketing Director Maddie Kennedy. Some flout know your customer laws by allowing their users to work without an account, let alone identification required by law. That tainted the category's reputation and made Chainalysis hesitant to partner with any P2P exchange. This is a reputational risk for us, said Dempsey, the Chainalysis exec. Dempsey said Paxful came to Chainalysis looking for investigative tools. The company agreed to a partnership after seeing Paxful had transformed its business model to prioritize compliance, according to Kennedy. Paxful Chief Compliance Officer Lana Schwartzman told CoinDesk the exchange began pivoting in early 2019 after it realized its future depended on towing the regulatory line. She joined the company in late 2018. Earlier that year, Paxful co-founder Ray Youssef had told CoinDesk his exchange was redoing our entire KYC, Know Your Customer, process. The biggest playmakers in crypto are centralized exchanges. Binance, a Chainalysis partner, moved over $800 million in Bitcoin, BTC, in the past 24 hours, according to Bitwise. Paxful's not processed $30 million in the past week. Alleged architects of $720 million BitClub Ponzi request jail release over coronavirus risk. Two men accused of defrauding investors of $722 million in a crypto mining pool scam have requested an early release from jail on the grounds the coronavirus poses a risk to their health. In emergency motions for release to the U.S. District Court covering New Jersey, Matthew Goach and Jabediah Weeks argue they should be temporarily released from an Essex County, N.J., correctional facility as the chances of contracting coronavirus are higher in an enclosed jail environment. While the harsh realities of COVID-19 affect the world at large, the risks presented by the virus are particularly acute for inmates. Conditions of pretrial confinement have proven time and time again to create the ideal environment for the transmission of contagious disease, Goach says in a letter to the federal court. See also, the U.S. should use stablecoins for emergency coronavirus payments. Goach and Weeks founded the BitClub Network, a Bitcoin mining pool that claimed to have multiple mining operations, in 2014. U.S. authorities accused them of falsifying earnings figures to defraud investors out of a total of $722 million and formally charged them with committing wire fraud and conspiracy to offer unregistered securities in December. In their submissions this month, Goach and Weeks argue they are unable to follow medical advice in jail because hand sanitizer is a controlled substance, and inmates are frequently in close proximity to one another. Weeks added that Essex County already has an exceptionally poor record of maintaining detainee health and that its measures to prevent a coronavirus outbreak did little to protect the health of inmates. Confinement in these circumstances will place greater restrictions on contact with their legal team, which could severely hamper their ability to prepare a defense ahead of trial, they add. Being accused of nonviolent crimes, both Goetsch and Weeks say they would not pose any risk to society for the duration of their release. The pair also say they are unlikely to flee justice due to international travel bans and the fact their passports have already been confiscated. Further reading, House stimulus bills envision digital dollar to ease coronavirus recession. Last week, a New York judge granted a motion for temporary release for another individual on the grounds that crowded detention centers allowed the virus to spread more easily. In his submission, Weeks argues he is at particular risk because he is a lifelong asthma sufferer. Digital dollar stripped from latest U.S. coronavirus relief bill. Mentions of a digital dollar in a coronavirus-related relief bill before the U.S. House of Representatives have been scrubbed. House Democrats' latest version of the Take Responsibility for Workers and Families Act, revealed late Monday, does not contain any language around a digital dollar in its section on direct stimulus payments. The lawmakers introduced the bill last week, envisioning a digital payment system organized by the Federal Reserve and its member banks to directly send these funds to U.S. residents to assist them with expenses during the COVID-19 mitigation measures, which have already resulted in massive unemployment and a potentially severe recession. In the latest 1,404-page draft, U.S. residents would receive $1,500 per person, though individuals with an income greater than $75,000 and couples with an income greater than $150,000 would have to repay the funds. The section detailing the payments, which starts on page 1090, appears to be less specific on how these payments would be sent to individuals than previous versions have been. While the draft bill introduced by Speaker of the House Nancy Pelosi, D. Califf, on Monday no longer includes any language around a digital dollar, a separate bill introduced by Representative Maxine Waters, D. Califf, titled the Financial Protections and Assistance for America's Consumers, States, Businesses, and Vulnerable Populations Act, still mentions the digital dollar. The language is expected to be removed from that bill as well, according to a source familiar with the matter. Russian Prime Minister introduces bill to allow fintech sandboxes, blockchain included. The Russian government may soon allow the creation of regulatory sandboxes for companies working on cutting-edge technologies like artificial intelligence and distributed ledgers. Introduced in a new bill on March 17 by Prime Minister Mikhail Mishustin, the plan does not directly mention blockchain or cryptocurrencies, but an explanatory note mentions distributed ledger as one of the technologies that could be explored in the new experimental regulatory regimes. Such regimes can be established to live test the new technologies in medicine, transportation, distant learning, financial markets, online commerce and other sectors. The bill gives Russia's regulators scope to deal with novel tech in a more flexible way, the document says. It's also suggested that the country's regions would be able to set up their own local sandboxes. The Bank of Russia, the central bank, will be supervising the sandboxes related to fintech. Representatives of the Economic Development Ministry, which initiated the bill, told the Russian newspaper Izvestia that fintech projects operating within sandboxes would be subject to lighter regulation regarding cash reserves, financial reporting and foreign currency controls. Real cases, real clients. Olga Shepileva, a senior expert at the Center for Strategic Research, a Moscow-based think tank that helped draft the bill, told CoinDesk that the law should have already been passed as a part of the government's program on developing the digital economy in Russia. However, there were concerns that such a law would excessively skew the power balance in favor of the executive branch. The main idea is that the government can choose to make a temporary exceptions from laws and regulations for the sandboxes, Shepileva said. The Bank of Russia has already been running a regulatory sandbox for fintech projects, and has even reported successfully testing a blockchain-based tokenization pilot by the mining and smelting company Nornickel. However, the central bank's sandbox only helps to model the possible uses of the new technologies, but does not allow businesses to test their use cases on real clients, neither does it provide the means for expert and public control over such experiments. The new bill will allow the creation of sandboxes in which real businesses will be working with real customers, Shepileva explained. No crypto. Russia's central bank has consistently maintained a skeptical stance towards cryptocurrencies and has recently said it's involved in drafting legislation that will block crypto marketplaces from operating in the country, though ownership would likely be tolerated. Mikhail Komin, research director at the Center for Advanced Governance in Moscow, said Russia is unlikely to become more accepting of cryptocurrencies anytime soon, saying, for sure, the pandemic and the financial crisis makes the government look for unorthodox solutions, but crypto is not a part of that. The Bank of Russia is interested in lowering uncertainty in the financial and foreign currency markets caused by the volatility of the Russian ruble, and it believes cryptocurrencies would add even more uncertainty, Komin said. The Bank of Russia's position remains the winning one in this argument. Emin Gunsaray Ava Labs seeks Wall Street business after open sourcing Avalanche protocol. Ava Labs, the first project building on the Avalanche Protocol blockchain network, is looking to modernize financial infrastructure. As first envisioned in a 2018 white paper by the pseudonymous Team Rocket, Avalanche Protocol uses random network sampling to reach consensus. But it is Ava Labs' ambition in building new infrastructure for the financial markets that now drives the firm forward. The new platform could have special value for financial infrastructure and applications, not just in decentralized finance, DeFi, but for Wall Street firms, too, said Ava co-founder Kevin Sekniki. That's why the team decided to base itself in Brooklyn, NY, instead of the more tech-savvy Bay Area in California, where Sekniki admits Ava Labs' hackers and engineers at heart might fit in more naturally. Ava open-sourced its initial codebase on March 11. See also, long-festering DeFi dApp bug still not fixed by industry. Ava is now looking to move even closer to New York's financial gearworks. Sekniki has tentative plans to abandon its current Brooklyn HQ in favor of offices within striking distance of the financial district in Lower Manhattan, where physical proximity to banks, brokers and firms can raise awareness of the product. We're going to have a big push in the financial sector, so we're going to need to meet with a lot of people in that area, downtown in FIDI, Sekniki said. He said those meetings could go a long way to getting institutions to take blockchain solutions more seriously. Too often there's a breakdown in messaging in which institutions do not see the value of blockchain because they do not see how it solves their business pain points in digitizing assets. Everything is lacking right now, primarily in technology, Sekniki said. The open source Avalanche. Ava is still in the process of building its first network. To that end, it released the codebase for the Avalanche protocol earlier this month, fleshing out the technical elements for an ecosystem Ava's founders hope will challenge the supremacy of other leading consensus families. The launch gives the developer community a look at Ava Labs' multi-year effort to piece together a workable source code for Avalanche. Avalanche's random sample method presents a significant break from two popular consensus families, Nakamoto, the proof-of-work model behind Bitcoin, and Classical, which uses majority vote. Proponents say Avalanche takes the best of both protocols while detractors scoff at what they deem a lesser derivative. See also, why polynomial commitments might be a breakthrough for Ethereum 2.0. We've been hearing from people that they want much more scalable, much faster consensus protocols, Sekniki said, comparing Avalanche's protocol to Cosmos. For its part, Ava's leaders are betting Avalanche has the potential. Running on $6 million funding from a 2019 venture capital round, the 30-person team has been building out their mainnet backend, developing a system Sekniki says could be the seed for a new generation of projects and dApps. It's a much better foundation for building blockchain platforms, Sekniki said. He admits his pro-Avalanche bias. Our end goal here is we want to be the platform on which all assets are issued. We really want to encompass DeFi and much more broadly alternative assets, he said. We're taking a very long-term approach to this. Bitcoin marches on $7,000 as traditional markets cheer Fed's QE bazooka. View the U.S. Federal Reserve's open-ended easing program as a long-run positive for Bitcoin's BTC price, according to analysts. With stocks flashing green and technical indicators pointing to a strengthening of upward momentum, Bitcoin looks set to test resistance at $7,000, Monday's low of $5,686 as the level to beat for the bears. Bitcoin is marching northwards as the Federal Reserve's extraordinary economic measures boosts risk appetite in the traditional markets. The top cryptocurrency by market value rose as high as $6,863 early Tuesday, having jumped from $5,700 to $6,600 on Monday, according to CoinDesk's Bitcoin Price Index. A major part of Monday's double-digit price rise came after the Fed announced its bazooka move to expand asset purchases by as much as needed, that is, with no upper limit, to help the economy absorb shocks arising from the coronavirus pandemic. Good for Bitcoin? There's now a general consensus in the analyst community that the unconventional policies adopted by the Fed and other central banks could bode well for Bitcoin. We foresee increasing capital deployment into Bitcoin as a result of a lack of confidence across central banks and governments during this volatile period, Leonard Neo, head of research at Stack, provider of cryptocurrency trackers and index funds. Central banks from New Zealand to Canada have reduced rates to zero and announced bond purchases over the last 2 weeks to counter the coronavirus-led economic slowdown. The likes of the Bank of Japan and the European Central Bank have instigated negative interest rate policies. See also, House stimulus bills envision digital dollar to ease coronavirus recession with central banks running out of steam to battle the virus jitters, there's scope for Bitcoin to fulfill a non-correlated and decentralized value proposition, according to Neo. Similar sentiments were echoed by popular analyst Joseph Young and Genesis Nodes co-founder David Parkinson. Some observers are also of the opinion that the ongoing crisis will strengthen Bitcoin's appeal as internet money. Major cities across the world have been put into lockdown to stall the virus outbreak, causing a shutdown of most commercial activities. So a prolonged crisis could push people toward Bitcoin as a decentralized cryptocurrency without a central bank or administrator that can be sent and received anywhere in the world at any time. The longer the people can't go outside to conduct their business, the more useful the cryptocurrency should become as it can be sent and received from the safety of one's home, Justin Gillespie, CEO of Titus Investment Advisors and Bitcoin trader told CoinDesk. Charlie Morris, head of multi-asset management at London-based Atlantic House Fund Management said, "The crisis highlights the importance of the internet, and Bitcoin is internet money. Gold lives in the real world and the refiners have shut down due to the virus. Bitcoin remains unscathed, which will broaden its appeal and lead to network growth. Bitcoin will emerge from this crisis in better shape, with more credibility than it has ever enjoyed before," Morris said. Not there yet. While the long-run prospects look bright, the cryptocurrency's immediate trajectory will likely be heavily influenced by action in the stock markets. The 90-day correlation between Bitcoin's price and the S&P 500 recently rose to 0.52, the highest level on record, according to Arcane Research. Global equities are flashing green at press time, possibly in response to the Fed's all-out effort in combating recession fears. The Euro Stoxx 50 Europe's benchmark equity index is currently up 5.5% on the day, while futures tied to the S&P 500 are reporting a 5% gain. Stocks in Asia also put in a positive performance. What's more, gold, the classic haven asset, has added 4% and trading near $1,600. The metal rose by 3% on Monday. As a result, Bitcoin could challenge the psychological resistance of $7,000 in the next 24 hours or so. Technical studies, too, are painting a bullish picture. Bitcoin jumped 11.7% on Monday, engulfing Sunday's negative price action and signaling a continuation of the recovery rally from recent lows below $4,000. The 14-day relative strength index has breached the descending trendline in favor of the bulls, while the MACD histogram has crossed above zero, confirming a bullish reversal. Next, resistance at $7,139 March 20th high could come into play. With the price now making higher highs and higher lows in the short term, this suggests we could get back to $7,000 in the coming days, Simon Peters, analyst at multi-asset investment platform eToro, told CoinDesk. However, we'll have to see if the markets have enough momentum to break and importantly stay above this level, or if we see the $7,000 level hold as resistance and the price retreat, as we saw March 20th. See also, unlimited QE and why markets can't price in COVID-19, a failure to make a sustained move above the resistance of the descending 5-week moving average at $6,910 could yield a drop to $6,500. The outlook, however, would turn bearish only below Monday's low of $5,686. At press time, Bitcoin is changing hands near $6,720, according to CoinDesk's Bitcoin Price Index. This concludes our edition for today. We want to thank again Paycademy, the first business school to learn payments and fintech, for their support. You can find more information on their website at paycademy.com. We hope you enjoyed it and see you tomorrow for our next edition.